All right, welcome to the show. Today we are interviewing Kristen Burr. She is the executive director and CEO of Homemade Northern Virginia. Homemade is an amazing organization. They actually connect regional builders and housing industry professionals with nonprofits focused on ending homelessness. One of the themes of the show this year was to highlight the generosity of builders and trade partners, and Homemade is an amazing example of what happens when you bring a bunch of builders and trade partners together. Something like 147 completed projects since 2001 when Homemade formed. Great organization. Check it out. We've actually put together our second live event. This one's going to be bigger and better than the last one. This one is a benefit for Homemade. It's actually brunch with benefits at Los Rhino Brewing Company on April 19th from 11 to 5. You know, we'll be there. We're going to do a live podcast. We're going to have a raffle for some great prizes. We're going to play podcast trivia also for prizes. Everything's for prizes. So come on down. It's going to be a great event. The food is fantastic. The beer is fantastic. We're going to record a podcast while we're there. We're going to have Kristen come on. We're going to have Scott Canaan come on, who is the vice president of production for Toll Brothers. He's heavily involved with Homemade. If we want to hear what he has to say. It's going to be an amazing event. Hopefully we're going to raise a ton of money for Homemade. Come on down and support it. I'd like to thank Lyft Safety. They shipped out a couple of hard hats for Jason and I. You know, I was a bit skeptical at first because of the price of these hard hats, but I got to tell you, after wearing one on the job, the products that they are putting out are really impressive. Not only are they super high quality, they're extremely functional and stylish at the same time. So Lyft Safety, my hat's off to you, no pun intended, but you guys are making some amazing products. Jason and I actually do a review of the hard hats. We put out a ton of stuff out on Instagram and Facebook about these products. I'm telling you, I was very impressed. I put that hard hat on the DAX carbon fiber cap right out of the box. Probably the most comfortable hard hat I've ever worn. Jason fell in love with the carbon fiber full brim. As soon as he put it on, he was like, that's it. This is the hard hat for life. Just like a pair of boots. Super comfortable. You're going to wear them forever. You know. Also, remember, check out buildertactics.com. The greatest website ever created. You can go on there. There's tons of information about pre-construction management, safety, time management. There's all kinds of stuff on there. I am getting ready to update the website here shortly. So in the next couple of weeks, there's going to be a ton more content on there. As always, you can go on there, download the manual, Builder Tactics, Practical Guide to Construction Management. If you want a paperback, you got to go to Amazon. Just search Builder Tactics. The book will pop up. Also, as usual, remember to get on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Follow us, like us, whatever. Whatever that particular platform is asking you to do, do it. Follow the show. Also, the resumes keep them coming in. We got a handful. We sent them out to some regional builders. So if you're looking to get into the industry, you know, if you're looking to change jobs, change companies, you're a trade worker, you're trying to get into a builder, whatever, send your resume into info@buildertactics.com and we'll pass the resumes straight along to builders all over the country. All right, with that, enjoy the show. Thanks, guys. All right, Jason, so we were, when we started the season, if you will, the new year, we were saying that one of the things we wanted to highlight this year was how charitable builders are, builders and trade partners, because I know I've mentioned it to you a couple of times. You know, from time to time, I find myself engaging in discussions with people that are like, oh, builders are so terrible. All they do is destroy nature and blah, 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 blah. But that is the farthest thing from the truth.
The big man's agenda.
Yeah. You know, they only care about profits and blah, 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 blah. So we are super fortunate today. Because we've finally got our second live event scheduled, and we'll talk about that later. I'm super excited about it. The first one was tremendous. This one's going to be even better. But we're super fortunate in that we have Kristen Burr on the show with us today. Kristen, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We are fantastic. I'm so excited for you to be on the show today.
So Kristen is with Homemade of Northern Virginia. And Kristen, can you tell us just a little bit about Homemade and the types of projects that you that organization is involved in?
A little bit about what you do there and how it came about.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am the executive director and CEO of Homemade Northern Virginia. And we are a nonprofit of 501c3 based out of Chantilly, Virginia. Homemade is a national model. Homemade America there are 20 chapters across the United States. And our chapter in particular was started by the Northern Virginia Building Industry Association in 2001.
Wow, you guys have been around since 2001. I had no idea.
Yeah,
I know. It's our 19th year this
year. That is awesome. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no. So we serve other nonprofits across 10 counties and municipalities. Our mission, our model, is that we build, renovate, and turn over their housing stock and other facilities that they use for programs, critical programming for our neighbors in need. So our model focuses on those who are experiencing homelessness or who would otherwise be homeless. And so all of the nonprofits that we serve are in this realm.
So how does that work? So what do you mean when you say you serve nonprofits? What does that mean?
So other nonprofits, other 501c3s across Northern Virginia those are our direct services. We don't serve clients that are homeless. We serve the nonprofits that serve the clients that are homeless.
Got it.
And so what we do is we have this beautiful collaboration between nonprofits and the public and private sector. And our mission is to bring expertise, time, labor, and materials to the table, construction needs, to really save those organizations as much as possible on the actual cost. So nonprofits across Northern Virginia that are working in this realm have properties. They have emergency shelters. They have domestic violence shelters. They have facilities that are used when it's extremely hot, or hypothermia when it's extremely cold. They have townhomes and houses that are used for what we call rapid rehousing, which is getting clients straight out of a homeless shelter right into housing to really get them back on their feet. And they do not have the capacity, the funding, or the expertise to do construction, to really make sure that the spaces are safe, stable, and even bigger than that, dignified.
So I have about a million questions already. So one of the questions, so how do you select, so if I'm, let's say I'm running a 503C nonprofit in Northern Virginia.
That's not a thing, but I mean, you
what
know
did I say?
He said 503C.
It's a 501.
Yeah, I'm just making fun of Damien. It's no big deal. It's kind of what I do here.
So let's say, for Jason's sake, that I have a charitable organization in Northern Virginia. How do I, if I wanted to, like, how do you make the selection? So if somebody approaches you and says, hey, I have a house, it needs rehabilitation or whatever. How do you guys make the selection? How do you decide where to focus?
So I do a lot of outreach, for one, and sort of explaining what we do and how we do it, but it's an application process. So when there's a nonprofit that has a house, and we do our renovations. So in Northern Virginia, obviously, we aren't doing a ton of ground up builds. We do some. We do a lot of additions and that kind of stuff to expand programming so more people can be served. But so it's a renovation, let's say, and they will contact me. And we vet the project not just with an application process, but by walking the space and really understanding the scope of the project.
Awesome.
We will do things, so the bigger the better. We do something as simple as a kitchen or a bathroom renovation, but we have built from the ground up. A couple of years ago, we built two 5,000 square foot homes for an organization called Youth for Tomorrow that's owned by Joe Gibbs.
Cool.
Yeah. And those houses both serve 36 girls each that are youth, that are sex trafficked victims, as well as teen runaways, and so that kind of an at-risk population.
Jesus.
So homeless, because we serve those that work in the homelessness realm, it really means lack of a fixed, regular, and adequate nighttime residence, right? But
right.
So homeless as a thing is just a part of someone's story. Most people do not choose to be homeless.
Right.
Most people end up homeless for all sorts of reasons. And I mean, the reality is all of us are one thing away from being in that situation. It can be the loss of a job, lack of affordable housing is a huge problem here and across the United States. An accident, domestic violence, unexpected medical situation that renders you, I mean, that something as simple as medical bills that add up can, you have to decide what to pay first. But then mental illness and substance abuse. So those are all real situations for our clients, or for the partners that serve the clients every day.
So, and I'm sorry to interrupt. So if you're a builder or a trade partner, are you actively recruiting, or do you have, does the Northern Virginia Builders Association, are they recruiting for HomeAid, or how do you get involved if you're a builder or a trade partner?
So HomeAid has a incredible board of directors. We have about 35 people on our board that are executives in the building industry. So they range from CEOs to building entities, a lot of residential builders, to trade partners, and also some that are in banking and in real estate and that kind of stuff. But no, we are always actively recruiting builders, and that's a HomeAid task. That's something we do. I do, obviously, with our events. We have a lot of fundraising events. We do some recruitment events. So when we have a project that has an application and that we've vetted, and we vet it hard because we make sure that it's a sustainable program and that they have the wraparound services. So the reason we serve nonprofits instead of individuals is because we know that those programs, the critical wraparound services like casework, is really what a human being needs to get back to a place of stability so they can get back on their feet and move forward with their life.
So when you say wraparound, what does that mean?
So that means any programming that a homeless shelter, for example, would provide. So some of that's going to be mental health type of programs. Some of that's going to be education. Some of that's going to be financial resources. A lot of it's just housing. If you end up sleeping in your car and you need a shelter, you need a roof over your head for you and your children, or you're fleeing domestic violence situation and you have to go to a shelter, there are a lot of there's a lot of trauma involved in homelessness or in any one of these other categories. And so they offer programs and services that help get a person back to being whole.
Awesome.
Essentially.
You know, I've been to a number of events where you've been up there, you know, speaking about what you guys do as an organization, and it's just tremendous to see how many different groups of different trade partners and different, you know, volunteers and people that are involved with this thing. It's a pretty, you know, shocking room full of people to see. And you know, it's funny, I'm actually like almost a little bit taken back here listening to you record on our podcast right now while we talk about it. I'm glad that we were able to, you know, to speak and kind of put this out there.
Well, Jason, we're going to do a lot more than that, buddy.
I know.
We're going to talk about that in a minute. So, Kristen, so tell us about, because it's been my experience that most people that are involved in one charity are usually involved in more than one. They usually have other interests. So I know where I'm going with this. But do you want to tell us about any other organization that you're involved with that might help people?
I absolutely do. So,
right? this is my favorite, because I'm just going to jump in there because I love yoga, but I've never been to prison. That I will admit on this podcast.
And I will not be able to teach you. I know. I'm so sorry.
Tell us about it.
It's an interesting tie, because sometimes people ask me how the two are even related. And I mean, in essence, they're not. But So obviously teaching yoga, and I'll get deeper into what I do, but a lot of the clients that our nonprofits serve at HomeAid, so a lot of the organizations that we serve here, you have a huge homeless population, and there is a pretty significant amount of people who are homeless who end up incarcerated.
Yeah.
And I have a pretty significant people who are incarcerated that end up homeless because of the system when they get out. And so I bring yoga and mindfulness practices to those who are incarcerated. I started a program 3.5 years ago called Siva Prison Yoga. And I realized when I started the program, I'd been a yoga teacher for a little while, and yoga, without getting too deep, but yoga has saved my life in numerous ways, and one was from a chronic illness, actually. So I decided that the population I needed to, yoga should be accessible to everyone. And in the Western practice, in the Western world, it has become inaccessible. It's very expensive. You have very expensive clothing and very expensive mats, and just classes themselves are very expensive. And there's everything from goats to beer to wine to sort of woo people into even getting on their mat.
You know what? That is so true.
That is so true.
Right? Goats and beer seem to be the two biggest lures for yoga practitioners.
I know. I actually saw piglets the other day. There's a class with piglets. Yeah, so I mean, it never stops, but it loses the therapeutic value of the practice.
Right.
That is actually an ancient practice from a thousand years ago that only men were able to practice. But there is a stigma with yoga, and I think in general, maybe not as much, it's getting better, but that it's something that women do because it's just stretching.
Is that true? Only men were allowed to do yoga? Back in the day?
In the beginning.
In India?
Back in India. Yep.
I did not know that.
No. Yeah. The first I've heard it too. Yeah.
You should see me do yoga. It's pretty disgusting.
Yeah, I can definitely, I definitely will say that I love yoga, and I at least do something every single day, but normally I'll do, you know, it's part of my warm-up at the very least, and I'm terrible at it. And I, you know, I think that it's...
Dude, I talk a great yoga game.
Do you?
I do.
Like,
I'm like...
You know
like,
the jargon you mean?
I'm like, hey, let's do morning salutation. You up for that? People are like, oh, no, I can't do that. I'm like, okay, well, it's your loss. I'm going to go over here and do this morning salutation. And really, I'm just playing with goats and drinking beer. But that's awesome. So you started doing that, what did you say, 3 years ago?
Yeah, so that's been about 3.5 years, and we've expanded to where I now have. So we are in the Fairfax County facility, and we're also in the Loudoun County facility. So we cover two adult detention centers currently. And I have 5 teachers now that teach for me between both facilities. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, and they're weekly classes. We teach, currently I only teach maximum security men because the reality... Right?
Wow.
But the reality is that there are a lot of men in the facilities, a lot more men. So I think the stats last time I saw were 90% of incarcerated are men. And then you look at yoga teachers, and so 90% of yoga teachers are female. And so, yes, I get a lot of questions about that dynamic. But at the same time, the practice, the meditation, and I teach a trauma-informed yoga, which is going to be a little bit different than just going into a studio. So I make a lot of concessions for a lot of changes by teaching. Don't do adjustments. So there's no touching. And I teach with them. Like I teach and I do the practice with them to take myself out of the position of power. So they sort of trust me. So there are some different things in the way that I teach, but within that facility, but the feedback has been pretty incredible. At one point we pulled statistics, I think last year, and with the men that are involved in the class, there was a 74% reduction in altercations or in issues.
Wow.
With those
particular That's
people.
Crazy.
So it's
that is
pretty
crazy.
Big. Yeah.
So how many students, when we talk about, when you go in and you set up a class, I mean, you said you have how many instructors?
I think I have 5. Yeah, 5.
Okay.
Between both facilities. So every facility is different.
Okay.
I currently, so with mine, I'm capped. I can have 18 men in each class, and I teach back-to-back classes. And so, but there's hundreds on the waiting list. Like, the waiting list is never-ending because, but the coolest part about that is I have guys that do come to class because I don't have an end date. As long as they're in the facility and want to come to class, they can come to class because you can't give them a practice like this and then take it away. And I've had guys up to a year and a half that are awaiting or awaiting going to prison, you know, downstate or whatever.
Wow.
And so it becomes part of their life. And I've had guys tell me, I mean, it's helping them deal with anger and stress. And there's a lot of, again, another population that has a lot of trauma. And if they didn't have a lot going in, they definitely do when they leave.
I have to start doing, I gotta start doing yoga again. Yes. I was just telling Jason, I need to relax and stop yelling
Good
at people.
And it helps with reactivity, which is really important in a facility like that, because they don't want to add time.
So So I am shocked that there are so many people that are doing it in the prisons, because I would think that there would be, like, you know, my impression is that they would be like, oh, like they're too manly or too macho to go into a yoga class.
Yeah, you would think that. And sometimes they come in like that, but after the first class, they realize what a difference it can make in their life.
When they're standing over a pool of their own sweat, like, but that was way harder than I thought it was going to be. Mean, just
when they take the time to breathe. Like, a lot of these guys are so tense, they're hardly sleeping. Again, there's a lot of angst, a lot of stress. And, I mean, I've had guys that fall asleep in meditation at the end, which just speaks to, I mean, we're in the middle of a gym, it's super bright, it's in the middle of a jail, but it's the one place that these guys feel like they're not incarcerated, and it's the one place where they feel like they trust the process, and they trust the practice.
That is awesome. So do you ever take that yoga practice to any of the homes that you, with the people that live in any of the homes that you renovate?
So I definitely have had other executive directors of some shelters reach out to me just because they know that I sort of can recommend or tell them what they should be looking for. But no, a lot of that's a capacity issue.
Yeah.
I do know that some shelters are incorporating that, especially with domestic violence. It's also really helpful with people that have PTSD. So there are some people that are implementing it because it is a proven practice that can really help you work through body issues. I mean, when you've been violated, it really will help to connect. So I have not personally, mostly because I can't stretch myself and I haven't figured out how to clone myself yet.
Yeah, that's tough, right?
That's tough. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I wish I could clone myself sometimes.
You have a twin brother. You have a twin brother, it's a huge pain in everybody's butt.
I actually do have a clone, I guess.
That is kind of,
We should have been like quadruplets.
Oh my gosh.
That wouldn't
be good for the rest of the world.
My mother would have killed herself. So here's the thing. So we were talking about that live event. So last year, we had the Construction Manager Podcast. We did a live event. There were thousands of people there.
It was like 17.
Or 12. Yeah, not quite that many. But fortunately, with the growth of the show, it's a great platform to get the message out about, the fact that builders and trade partners are extremely charitable people. Uh-huh. And the fact that, we know HomeAide. Jason and I have both, participated with HomeAide in some fashion or another. It's an amazing, amazing organization. So our next live event is going to be on April 19th, and it's a benefit for HomeAide of Northern Virginia, which I think is going to be incredible. So it's April 19th at Lost Rhino. It's brunch with benefits from 11 to 5. You don't have to be there the whole time. That's a long time to be at a brewery. I'll be there because breweries are my second home. But I've actually been able to secure some prizes. So we're going to do some giveaways. We're going to have a raffle. And we're going to, put the word out as much as we can to get as many people out there. Lost Rhino has agreed to give 10% of their profits that day to HomeAide, which is fantastic. True Work Workwear has donated some clothing to the cause so we can raffle them away. So IsoTunes has donated some products, and we're going to give away a couple of books. And then, Kristen, there's a grand prize. Do you know what it is?
I don't know what it is.
Oh, be on the edge of your seat.
Oh, the grand prize is a guest appearance on the Construction Management Podcast.
Boom.
There it is.
I mean, they're just fighting to get in here.
I mean, literally.
Yeah, to our specialized studio.
Yeah, nobody's fighting.
Well, that is all extremely important stuff that you and HomeAide does, and I know Damien and I are both proud to be part of it.
Definitely,
with the bits of things that we're definitely involved in, and it's really cool to see builders and trade partners alike all join together for the same cause.
Definitely, we're actually going to have Scott Canan is actually going to join us at the event on the 19th as a guest. We're hoping that you'll be there and you can be, the four of us will have a conversation at the event. Are you gonna be there on the 19th? I forgot to even ask you.
Yeah. No, I'll be there.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. So the four of us, and then we're probably gonna line up a couple of additional guests. So we're actually going to We're going to record a podcast at the event, which will be great. We're going to have a raffle, and we're also, for all those listeners out there, we're going to do podcast trivia. Because there have been, this will be our 39th podcast, and there's a ton of things that we've talked about that you will only know if you listen to the podcast.
That's great.
And for those people out there that get the questions right, they'll win a prize.
So you thought you were busy before, but now you have to listen to 38 other podcasts.
And the sound quality is not great on some of them. But it's going to be a great event, and it's for an amazing cause. So I know we're super excited. We hope we can raise $1 million for HomeAid.
That would be amazing.
Wouldn't it be amazing?
That would be amazing.
So, Kristen,
it'll help continue our mission.
That's the thing.
We have a lot of projects already in progress this year. So
let me ask you a question. If somebody wants to get involved, how do they get involved with HomeAid?
How do they contact you?
So you can go to our website just to start to really look at some of the before and afters of our projects, which is just like some of it is just magic, and I think it's the pictures speak for themselves. But it's www.homeaidnova.org. And I'm on there, so you can just look at our team page and email me or call me directly, and I would love to chat and see what the interest is or how we can work together, because we're always open. And obviously, builders and trade partners, we're always looking for new companies and new organizations to get involved with. And if you're a nonprofit that has some construction needs, definitely want to bet that and look at those facilities and see what we can do there.
Awesome.
I just wanted to note, because you keep, like, we've obviously talking about the generosity, which I think is incredibly important to acknowledge and then share how generous this industry is. But in that, since this is our 19th year, as I said, and we've completed 147 projects, 147 wow. different construction projects. So those renovations and builds, though, totaled, and so we have invested $17.8 million back wow. into the community. And the savings on that, which is the most incredible piece of that, is that we saved those nonprofit organizations $10.5 million in
that's
labor,
amazing.
Time, materials. That's where the magic happens, is these donations and being able to save the nonprofits the critical funding that's already hard enough to get, so they can continue doing the hard work with helping our neighbors that need it.
That's amazing. I love it.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Hey, so how many people actually work for HomeAid in Northern Virginia?
So we have five staff total.
Awesome.
So, yeah. Small but mighty.
I love it.
You know,
I've attended a bunch of your HomeAid events in Northern Virginia, and they've all been incredibly well-run and massively attended.
Right.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, so our funding, we don't get any government funding, and we get very few grants because our direct service is other nonprofits. And so we rely heavily, not just on the donations on the projects, but we rely heavily on our fundraisers, which we have four big fundraisers a year.
Do you mean five?
No, she said four big fundraisers.
And we are very much looking forward to that one.
Awesome. Well, Kristen, thank you so much for coming on the show today. We really appreciate
it. Thank you.
And again, the website is www.homeaidnova.org. .org? Awesome. Check it out.
Thank you so much for having me.
You got it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to the show. We had an amazing time talking to Kristen Burr with HomeAid. HomeAid is a fantastic organization. Check them out. Go to their website. It's homeaidnova.org. As always, jump on social media, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. Follow us, like us, whatever. Go to the website. Register on the website. We'll send you a few emails a year with news, things that are coming up. April 19th, we've got our live event at Lost Rhino Brewery. That's actually in Ashburn, Virginia. It's at 21720 Red Rum Drive in Ashburn, Virginia. You can't miss it. They got a big sign outside. And like I said, we'll be there from April 19th from 11 to 5. Brunch with benefits. Folks from HomeAid will be there. It's going to be a great event. Come on down. You can win lots of prizes. Other than that, thanks for listening.